What's that? Thanks for being here this morning. I know it's a. I want them to figure out how they can do Christmas not on a Sunday or Christmas Eve not on a Sunday, because it's always like kind of interesting to, you know, sometimes that's a family time for a lot of people. But thank you for coming and being family with us this morning and coming to celebrate the light of the world. I hope my voice gets through this morning. I don't know if it was, I have this little tickle in the back of my throat, but then also Marcy, we're sitting caroling over at the hospital, I think it was, and she's like, my voice is gone, you guys have to take over. And I'm like, what? Me? Like, really? You know how I sing? So I don't know if it was that or what's going on with my voice, but we'll make it through it. I love how it's kind of interesting. It's a good testimony of God bringing some light into kind of some darkness and that. And, you know, I was thinking about this song that Melissa sang. She did the redo of that song. If that's an older song. And if you go back and listen to this, I went back and listened to some of the old lyrics. Man, it's really dark. It's really kind of a dark song. It's cool that God can bring light to anything. And that's what we're going to be kind of talking about this morning. We're just going to continue that series on really Jesus, the light of the world. And officially, I just wanted to make sure you knew there was one day until Christmas, right? In honor of Ron Bernard, right? There is officially one day before Christmas. Anybody need to still do shopping? Come on, let's be real. Man, you guys are really good. Got at least one honest person back there. Man, y'all are on top of things. Good job. I thought I was. Who had their shopping done before Thursday? I mean, before the Black Friday. Anybody have their shopping done before Black Friday? No, yeah. At least one. Of course, it has to be Errol, right? She's patterned after Tom, right? All right. That's right. No credit for that one. All right. It's good to have all the Burbies back anyway, by the way. Yeah. Got a lot of visitors this morning, and a lot of people have gone already to celebrate Christmas with families. But just make sure, if you have not shopped, get out there and do that. Listen to the sermon first, and then go do your shopping after. But I really want to talk about this subject of light of the world. Daniel kind of started us off about 3 weeks ago, just talked about recognizing the light in others, responding to that, and that you will receive from that. You know, you'll receive and get that reward. Leah talked about the next week, the amazingness of Jesus. She really took us through a smorgasbord of scripture that just declared who Jesus was as the light of the world and to bring really freedom and life to just so many places. Catherine last week talked about Mary and how she carried the word. She carried the light of life and how we, in turn, get to do that. This morning, I just really want to take really a look at this John 8 passage that this, we always hear the light of the world. Well, I was like, what passage is that? What's the John? It's John 8:12. And I want to just look at that and kind of talk about it because I've always heard that scripture by itself. You know, we get to Christmas time or we hear Jesus, light of the world. You kind of hear that scripture by itself. You never really see the context of what he said it, where he said it from. And I really want to take us through that this morning because I think if you get the context, you'll start realizing what he was declaring, how he was declaring it. So let's just read that key verse in John 8:12. It says, he makes this declaration, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. And so think about that. I am the light of the world. Now, the next little phrase demands a response. He's the light of the world, but it's the reality is that he who what? All right, I got about 20. That's pretty good. That's better than last time I spoke. I think it was like three or four. He who what? Follows me will do what? Have the light of life. He will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. So the reality of the response is to follow him. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning because the context that he spoke that in was immediately after he had this interaction with this lady. And we're actually go back and find that. But you think about light of the world, and you know, I was thinking about that, and I always think about it in flashlights. And this is kind of the old school flashlight, I believe. I'm sure it's not LED, but you know, I think about this is what we are. Now the crazy thing is this doesn't even work because it doesn't have it has batteries. The batteries don't work anymore. But the reality is that we in ourselves, we do not have light. We'll show you in just a second. You'll have the ability to make light. You just don't have it within you, you know, until, you know, something. But Jesus comes and says, now that's a great light. And even if it was on, it would shine some. But I think of Jesus kind of like this flashlight, right? Like he is the light of the world. So, you know, wherever he is, like, I mean, that like shines a pretty big bright light, right? Now, yes, thank you, Marcy. I'll show you what he wants to do. He is the light of the world. And so think about that in reference to going back to this interaction that he has with this woman. So we're going to go back to, go on to the next, there you go, John 8, 1 through 4. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and it was hard to speak this word because I always like to go back to Luke 2 and just talk about the birth of Christ and somehow come up with a really cool illustration out of that. But Lord kept saying, like, you need to go back to a lot of what Leah was talking about, like, just showing the reality of what Jesus does as the light of the world. He came as a light, but he is the light. So Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning. He came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him. So big crowd. He came to the temple, big crowd gathering. You know, everybody's wanting to come see Jesus, see what he does, see how he walks and operates. They've heard about him. They've heard about what he's done. And he sat down and began to teach them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. And having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act." Now, I don't know about you guys, but if you put yourself in her situation, that'd be a pretty dark time. Right? Pretty crazy dark time. Now, we won't even go there, but it's always frustrating because really there's only one. If somebody got caught in the very act, there's really two people in that. So this girl is being brought before everybody, and now she's going to get her stuff broadcasted. Anybody like to get caught and then get your stuff broadcasted and brought before everybody? No, I mean, we're pretty, I don't know about you. We like to hide it. Like, we had like to, you know, keep it. Like, man, but all of a sudden, very dark moment for her. Very dark moment for her. And so all of a sudden, you know, go on to the next one. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say? Then they were saying this, testing him, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And so you realize that all of a sudden now they're trying to get Jesus in this little predicament, right? Because if Jesus all of a sudden just says, "Well, she's good," you know, they're going to get him in relationship to the law. You know, she's good, she's okay, you know, we're going to partner this time. Then all of a sudden you got to deal with the law part of that. If he says, "Oh, well, let's keep with the law and let's stone her," now you're going to lose the, you know, godness, the loving kindness part of that whole thing. And so it's kind of, they feel like they've got him. They feel like they're in this place that they got him where they want him. And so, of course, when he stoops down, it's kind of interesting, you know, a lot of figure out what he actually wrote. That would be interesting. That's one of those things when everybody gets up there, probably be like, "Hey, Jesus, what did you write in that right there?" But it is interesting, the word that he used for wrote, I think it's the word wrote, means he's there. It's a different one than the second one that he uses in the second time when he wrote on the ground. First time he's writing, it's kind of got a connotation where he's writing things down against. So you kind of feel like maybe he's just writing some things down that the reality is of everything else that these other people have done in their life, or whatever that might look like. But all of a sudden, he says, "He who has not sinned, go ahead, cast the first stone." And so all of a sudden now, see, you have a light shining into some darkness. You have some light that's shining, you know, because the law tries to shine light. Like, I'll use Daniel for instance, so you might want to look away. Yeah, the law does this right here. And it likes to shine. Yeah, you might not look at it. It's kind of like a laser. don't look at the light. But that's what the law tries to do. Blind us and like show us. Oh my gosh, I have to look away. I can't even really. But God, and then sometimes that's the religious part. Sometimes the anti-religious part, we just kind of like hide the light and really say, man, you can just kind of do whatever you want to do. You know, it's okay. God will, just makes up for all that or whatever. You know, we hide the light. But what Jesus does, he's going to come in and do this. I wish I could do that. He's going to do this, and we're going to see that here in just a second, into her heart, into her life. Because when he does this, that's when God can begin to bring healing and life. We're going to see that here in just a second. So keep going on there. So when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone, and the woman, where she was in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" And she said, "No one, Lord. No one. No one condemned me." And he says, and Jesus, who had every right to condemn her, because he was the only one left that didn't have sin, said what? "Neither do I condemn you." Now, the cool part is that he doesn't leave her there. He says, now go and sin no more. Leave that lifestyle because it's a dark lifestyle. It's like killing you. It's hurting you. It's wounding you. And so that's when he shines that light into her heart. And then Jesus said that famous statement, "I am the what? Light of the world. I am the light of the world." Because that's where he wants to get. He wants to get to our hearts. Illuminate this. A lot of times we want to do that, because of things or because of shame or whatever. But God wants to bring life. He didn't shame her. He actually, it was a beautiful picture, just kind of like Daniel was saying, a beautiful picture of a woman that had every right by the law, had every right by the, because the law brought, kind of what I wrote down in your, if you're looking at your notes there, the law, she was found guilty. By his love, she was not condemned. But by his light, he empowers us to go sin no more. By his light, he empowers us to not walk in darkness. Did you remember that scripture I just said? I am the light of the world. He who follows me, that's what he's saying to this lady. If you'll follow me, I am the light. I am the dark. Now, you think about if I had this flashlight or this flashlight, which one do you want to follow? Yeah. Yeah, this one, right? That's the one I want to follow. I want to follow the one that's got the light. I want the one that's got the real light. And so the crazy part is that now think about it in this way. This next passage in Romans. So if he's the light of the world, and in Romans 8, it was funny. I was going to tell kind of a quick story. It's funny, because when it's kind of like this woman, you know you're guilty, and God, and then all of a sudden you get reprieved. What a great place that is. When I was doing the paper route back in the day, I sinned by rolling through a stop. I was going down by the FedEx place. I was late getting to my boss was waiting for me, and I was late. So I was like, I kind of looked to the left and then just kept rolling through the stop. Well, the key to that is not to do that when a cop is coming straight down the gap right there at you, like, and can see everything you just did, right? So, I pulled out, and I'm like, oh, man, guilty, man. I just pulled on over. I was like, here he comes. He just whips around. I said, yeah, I'm guilty, whatever. And so I went up, and I was just about to pay it. I went to the clerk's office. I was going to pay it. And all of a sudden, I was like, I just asked the lady. I was like, hey, does anybody ever go to court and you just kind of explain? Because it was kind of my first time going to court. And I was like, does anybody ever go and just explain what was going on and, the judge let them off? And she's like, well, you can try if you want. And I don't know, just for an instant, I was like, I'm going to try. I'm going to do it. I'm going to put the, I don't like to pay things like any of that anyway, right? Kind of cheap that way. I'm like, I don't even want to pay for that ticket. So I go in the, I go in the courtroom. I kid you not, like, for the first four or five people, it's pretty rough. You know, they just got, they were guilty, whatever. Then this girl right before me gets up there, and she got a DUI, and she had done, like, five different things to kind of prove that she was a worthy driver and a citizen, that she had done better. She'd gone to these classes. She took some online stuff. She did this, that, and the other. And the judge looked at her and said, thank you, guilty. And I was like, man, I am dead. I'm not going up there and sharing a thing from my life. I am going to go up there and say, I am guilty, and please just give me my ticket, and I will move on. I'm not even telling you what I did because I had no excuse at that moment. And it was funny because all of a sudden this cop, the cop over there started fumbling through his papers, and all of a sudden he came back up and said, "So, you know, Judge, I didn't know Mr. Simonis was on the docket today." And the judge was like, "All right, you're free. You're free to go." I was like, "What?" I was like, "Oh no!" I was just about to say I'm guilty, and he's like, "Free." That's what. But that's what. All of a sudden, it's like, that's what the light of the world. That's like, you're guilty. Like, just like this adulterous woman, like, she's guilty. Like, what she was doing wasn't. It was a sin. Remember, sin missing the mark. Is missing, it's that archery term, missing a mark. She was just missing the glory of God for her life. You know, we try to make it all religious and like, oh my gosh, how could you do that? It's like, no, you're just totally missing who you are. You're missing out on life that God has for you. So it was funny. I was like, oh my gosh, like to feel that, just that moment of like, I was going to say, I am 100% guilty. And the judge said, you're 100% free. And I'm like, well, that, I didn't even feel right. I walked out for sure. I was gonna take my money and go on. I didn't really want to pay that, but that's that reality. Jesus coming in, and that was mercy for sure. But I just wanted to share that. But go on to the next one. This reality that God calls us to this. If you're reading in your notes, did I just put that down? Where's that yours? The call is really to be conformed to his image. Look at this. Sorry. I meant to speak this one right before that. This is one that you could probably preach. I felt like the Lord said there is something on this verse, but I didn't have any time because I kind of got it this morning. I have no time to. But look at this. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give what? The light of your sin and the light of your whatever, this, that, and the other. No, it's trying to give you the light of the knowledge of his glory. Like, he's trying to shine in there like who he is. Like, that's what he wants to put in you, shine in you. Like, really get in there. I love that. He has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's probably even a bigger thing to unwrap, and I'm not going to do it this morning. But go on to the next one there, Brennan. I love this. The call, for those whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed into the image of his son. Right? So whose image are you supposed to be like? Jesus. Now, Jesus just declared that he is the what? Light of the world. I love it, because just a few chapters before, he was talking about the bread. He's like, I am the bread of life. Caused such a stir. Now he's saying, I am the what? Light of the world. And so if he is the light of the world, then who are you supposed to be conformed into? You're supposed to be the light of the world, right? So that, go on to the next scripture. He even tells us this in Matthew. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but puts it on a lampstand and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your God, who Father is, who is in heaven. And so that's your call. Like, we get to celebrate that he's the light of the world in this season, but the reality is 364 extra days, you get to be the what? You get to be the light of the world. Well, you're really supposed to be on the 365 too, but this is the day we celebrate him. But really, he's declaring something into us that we're supposed to go live out 365. And so he gives us an example, because the cool part about it, right after he speaks that, all of a sudden, the Pharisees, we're going to go look real quick about the reality of how the Pharisees respond to that. They're always responding is very always interesting. Let me get caught up to where I am at, because I always never look at my notes and then realize I should have done that. I did want to say something real quick, too. Think about, can I just show you a couple more examples? Think about this. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. Do you think she was in a dark place? She was in a dark place. She couldn't even go out in public. She was supposed to be alienated. She was, by the law, not supposed to be out anywhere near anybody. You know, she had the issue of blood. She, for 12 years or years and years, you know. But all of a sudden, Jesus came and, well, Jesus did. She came and touched the hem of his robe, and she gets healed. And then, I don't know if you remember the last statement, she says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." What did she need to know that about God's glory? That she was a daughter of the Most High God. You know, that was probably the first time she had ever heard that. You know, "You're a daughter. Daughter, your faith has made you well." I was thinking about Martha. You remember that Martha, and all of a sudden Lazarus dies, right? And she's in a dark moment of her life. And she believes that God could heal her, heal Lazarus, because she said, "Jesus, if you had only been here, you would have been what? Lazarus would have been resurrected, or healed, sorry. Lazarus would have been healed." But she said, "Now he's been in the grave 3 days." You know what she needed? Some light, right? Because he says, "Martha, if you'll believe, I am the resurrection and the life." It's like, if you'll believe in me, I'll do greater things than you even thought. You thought I could heal. I'm going to resurrect. And so God wanted to shine a light into her spirit to give her another realm of glory for her life. Think about, I was thinking about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a guy, you're like, what? Zacchaeus was a guy that he was in a dark place because why? He was rich, but he was poor. You know, he had all the money in the world, but he knew how he got it. He stole from people. He was a chief tax collector. He got rich by taking people's money. That's how he got rich. And he was so desperate that he went ahead and he did what? You know, y'all have heard the Bible story. He climbed up the what? Sycamore tree, right? You know that old Bible story? Why would he do that? I mean, he's a chief tax collector. Why is he trying to get up there? Because he's desperate to find something, a light, because he's in darkness. And all of a sudden, Jesus said what? "I'm coming to your house. I'm coming into your realm. I'm coming into who you are. I'm coming to..." And immediately, he's like, he was undone. He's like, I'm giving everything to the poor, and I'll pay 4 times back what I stole. I'm like, talk about light. You know? Talk about light. Immediate. So that's what God wants to do, bring light into the darkness. And he's calling us into that same image. So the cool part is that you're going to have those same type of interactions with people. You're going to be able to bring them out of darkness. So how do you do that? How do we do that? Well, Jesus shows us in the next few scriptures in that John passage. Look at John 13. Jesus, the first thing, if you're going to be the light of the world, Jesus, go to the example that Jesus gave. So the Pharisees have him. You know, they think they have him. Then Jesus says, cast the first stone. They don't have him, all right? So then they get a little frustrated. So they said, okay, you just said you're the light of the world. Well, whose testimony is that on, right? Come on, you're saying that by yourself. You're not saying it because anybody else said it. So the Pharisees said to him, you're testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered and said, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I'm going, and I know where I've come from. If you're going to be the light of the world, you better know where you've come from. You better know where you're going, right? If you're going to shine a light, I better know where I've come from, but I better know where I'm, like, what, going. Otherwise, I'm just going to be blind leading the blind, right? And that's where the Pharisees were. I want to be a light to help people go in the direction of the Father, of the Father. And that's what Jesus was about, showing and reflecting the Father, all right? But I better know, that was the first thing. Jesus knew where he was came from. He knew where he was going. If you don't know the Lord Jesus this morning, please know him, because if you don't, then you don't know where you've come from, and you don't know where you're going. You know, the world has come up with a great, thing in relationship to evolution. Why? Because they want to figure out where we've come from and what? Where we're going. That's not the greatest of realities for me, you know, that I somehow disorder created order. There's just, that doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even make sense. Like even the world probably, even in itself, they won't make that make sense. But God's order brings order and life. His order brings light. And so that's why we have to know where we've come from, and we have to know where we're going. And so that maybe this morning God's going to just really encourage you this morning to really get on board with that piece. Like, I really want to know where I've come from. Maybe you need to know the Lord Jesus as your Lord, so you know your destiny, where you've come from. But you also, God wants to help us know where we're going. But we only can do that in the light of who he is. He spoke that. All right, think about this next scripture. Go on. John 8, go in there, Brennan. Is he up there, Brennan? Oh, there. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone, but even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone in it, but I am the Father who sent me. So he's saying, you guys are judging according to flesh. I'm judging according to the Spirit. If we're going to be the light of the world, I've got to get into a place where everything that I do is judged, sorted out. Remember, judgment is me sorted. I sort out by the Spirit of God. Like, if I'm going to be light, if I'm going to shine light, I want it to be him. I want it to be his judgment. I want it to be his in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So Jesus judges according to the Spirit, okay? So that's the second thing. Go on there, Brennan. We're going to fly through these. Jesus knew the Father. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. So they were saying to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Jesus knew the Father. That's why he could say, I'm the light of the world. He knew he was just a reflection of who God was. It's kind of interesting that Ms. Rachel picked these glow-in-the-dark little ornaments. You know, that was kind of a little thing that we've been doing, you know, just to testify about what God has done in some, the reflection of God. But the hard part about these is that really a glow-in-the-dark has no reflection in itself. Like, the glow-in-the-dark by itself, the kids are going to come back in, I believe. But that's good. Cool. We're going to finish up here in just a second. But the crazy thing about it is that a glow-in-the-dark has to know light to be able to shine. So glow-in-the-darks get their ability to shine because it's what? Absorbed energy and taking the light off of something else. That's how you glow in the dark, right? So how are you going to be a light? There's really no light within yourself. You have to reflect a light. The light of God has to be in you, but you have to reflect that light. You have to be able to glow where? In the dark. So that's how I glow in the dark. So it's kind of interesting she was even talking about that, because I want to know God so much that that's the reflection that I'm participating in out there. Like, that's, I want to know God so much that when you know me, you know my Father, right? Wouldn't that be an awesome thing? Like, when you know me, you know the Father, right? You know who, it's always pointing to him. It's pointing to his heart. So I thought that was kind of interesting that she did those glow in the dark, because that's the reality, you know, of what we have to do is we reflect the God. We were coming back from, helped out with a encounter down for the Atlanta guys. And when we were coming back, it was so crazy. It was a super moon. Who else? Oh, that's great. Kelly was there too. She was doing worship. And we were, it was me, Joe, and Kelly. And all of a sudden we were coming back. And I'm serious, as big in the sky as I could have seen it, there was a super moon. Like, I don't know if did anybody see that super moon? Man, that was awesome. It's probably one of the most glorious things I've ever seen. I'm like, it was straight at it. Like, we're like, oh my gosh. Like, I feel like it was holding up the sky. But you realize that moon has no ability to shine? What is it reflecting? It's reflecting the sun, right? We reflect the sun. Like that, we don't have light in ourselves. We have to reflect it from him. So if we're going to be light, I got to know who he is. I got to know who he is. Go on to the next one real quick. I love this part. He was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So what was he saying there? He says, he was in the world, but he wasn't of the world. And so that's a big thing. If I'm going to shine a light, I can't shine the light of the world, of this world. I have to shine the light of the world. And so the reality is that I can't shine both at the same time. And I think sometimes we try to fit into the world. We try to kind of absorb the world into who we are, and this light becomes dull. This light begins to get dull. And I think that's the reality is that, you know, there's a scripture in the Word in John 17, that, you know, we're supposed to be in the world, but we're not supposed to be what? Of it. And so that's how Jesus declares into us. If you want to be the light of the world, you got to be in the world, but what? Not of it. Because this world doesn't have, we don't have light within ourselves. This world doesn't have life, light within itself. You have to be the light. You have to be the light. So kind of this last little part, it's kind of interesting. Anybody see the movie Wonder? Only just a few. It's really good. It's a really cool movie. It's about, I don't think it's a true story or not, but it's about a kid that, is it a true story? Is it really? It's was born with some deformity and had about 20-some surgeries, I think, or maybe more. And so you can see, you can tell, he always wore an astronaut's, you know, helmet, and just to hide it. And right before the whole story is about him going to school, and for the first time, he was homeschooled, and so he's going to school for the first time. They take his astronaut helmet off, and obviously you can see he's deformed, and the sister stoops down and just speaks into him this. He said, you know, you can't blend out when you were created. You can't blend in when you were created to stand out. Like, you can't blend into the world when you were created to shine something much bigger. And it was so cool. It was just a really cool movie. If you like heartwarming stories, it's a great story. But I think about this last verse in verse 25 in this passage that we're going to read. So they were saying to him, "Who are you?" That's always like, they get down to the fact. I always love that sometimes you just get down to these questions. You feel like they're like totally frustrated by now. Like, he's already like, you know, the first time he's already taken the people to town in relationship to, you know, they thought it, they had him with the adulterous woman, and they didn't. And then they think, well, we're going to get him on the testimony of, he's testifying about himself. They couldn't even do that. And they're just frustrated. They're like, "Who are you?" Like, who are you? And I love what Jesus said to them. Jesus always answers in a question most times. Jesus answers a question with a question a lot. And he says, "What have I been saying to you from the beginning?" You think about the scriptures that he's declared. I haven't put them on here. I put them on there. You can go back and look at them. I'm just going to read a few scriptures that he said about himself. Think about the fact that even from the beginning of the conversation, he said that he was the what? Light of the world. All right? Think about this. John 1:1. I think Marcy spoke that this morning. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." That's what he spoke about in the beginning of John. Think about this in the beginning. What did he do in the beginning? First thing, he saw darkness over the earth, and he said what? "Let there be light." There was light in him. That's how he declared it. Think about this in Isaiah 9. We've read this scripture. This is the Christmas passage, right? This is Isaiah, you know, hundreds of years before Jesus came. And all of a sudden he's saying, "The people who walk in darkness will see what? A great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." That was from a prophet, you know, years before Jesus even came. Think about Jesus at the beginning of his ministry in Matthew 4. The people who were sitting, this is a prophecy, this is also a scripture from the Old Testament. "The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land in shadow of death, upon them a light dawned." You know, you think about when Jesus was on the earth in John 9. It says, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." I am the light of the world. When he said this, He spat on the ground, made clay, and put clay to this guy's hands, eyes, and healed him like that. And so there's a reality that God, all throughout the New Testament, Old Testament, wherever you see, God is shining light into us so that then we can do what? Why does he do this? So then we can do this for people. We're not the blind leading the blind anymore. Now I know where I've come from. I know where I am going. And then God declares that. The last scripture I wanted to just share, keep going. Yeah, the other way, yep, keep going. I love this John 12 passage. And this is just what kind of what I want to end with is as far as the who are you? You know, Jesus obviously answered that throughout time. But think about this. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death which we celebrate this today in communion, by which he was going to die. The crowd then answered him, We have heard out of the law that the Christ is to remain forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? I always love it. Who is the Son of Man? Well, you're talking to him right now. Keep going. And so Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you might become what? Sons of light. Daughters of light. And that's the reality. We get to be conformed into his image. So I kind of had this reality check this week. Like, as we get to celebrate Jesus, the light of the world, just make sure that I also know that the reason that he's bringing light to my life is so that I can be a true reflection of his light into this world. And so I felt like the Lord this morning just wanted to again, it's probably nothing that you haven't heard before, but I feel like if we're going to be light, I just want to reiterate those things. If we're going to be the example that Jesus gave to be the light of the world, you've got to know where you've come from and where you're going. You've got to be able to walk and judge according to the Spirit, listen to the Spirit, hear the Spirit of God. I got to get time with the Father. I got to get time with the Lord just to know him, just to see him so that I can then what? Reflect him. I can see him. And then I've got to be in the world and not be of it. I've got to be able to say, not religiously, but not anti-religiously, I got to just be with Jesus in this world. I got in it, not of it. And so that's what God's calling us to. And so that's my prayer this morning as we get to celebrate Christmas tomorrow, as we celebrate with our families maybe later on today, or maybe you have some things going on today, that you'll remember that God in this, I really felt like there's a season that we really believe that there's some things coming out about growing. And if I'm going to grow in this area of the light of the world, I need to get in this place of knowing the light of the world. I've got to be able to grow into his image and likeness. And so this is one of those, I really believe, is in 2018, God really wants us to be, you individually, but I think even us corporately, being a light into this community, into the New River Valley. God wants us to grow into that, grow in that even at a greater measure. And so that's my prayer this morning for you individually and for us corporately. And so I don't know if anybody has anything that they want to, I feel like we're going to end a few minutes early, maybe. Or, yeah, it is early. I thought maybe I had talked way longer than I thought I thought. So we're going to end a little early today just to give you some time with your family and things like that. But before we do, I'm going to have the teams come up, the prayer teams. I looked at Brandon and want to say healing teams. So if you want to come up too, that'd be great. This morning, I just felt like, just felt led to, as we kind of close, I want to pray for you. Anyone that does not know the Lord this morning. So can we just stand just for a minute? And you can go ahead and play Ms. Melissa. Father, we thank you that by the light that you are the light of the world, and by that light, you offer us freedom, just like you offered the woman that was caught in adultery. Lord, you could have held the law to that. You could have gone there. You could have just probably just freely forgave her because that's you could do it. But, Lord, you took an opportunity to say, by my love, I'm not going to condemn you, but I'm not going to leave you in that either. And so, Lord, this morning I just want to call us to that place. That, Lord, if we don't know you, Lord, maybe just like this woman, maybe she didn't know you. And Lord, I just pray right now that today would be a day that, Lord, that you come and you walk among us, that you come and shine the light of the gospel into our hearts. And so this morning, with just eyes closed, I just want to say this morning, if you have never made Jesus the light of your world, because in that moment, Jesus became the light of that woman's world. But if you've never made Jesus the light of your world, I just want to pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would just come to a place of knowing him as Savior. And if you want to acknowledge that and you want to lift your hand and I can pray for you, I'd love to do that. If anybody in this place does not know you, just put your hand up and put it right back down and acknowledge it. Anybody before? I just want to make sure we have a moment to really declare Jesus Lord over our lives, the light of the world. So, Lord, I thank you this morning. I just pray that anyone that, again, that does not know you, or maybe this is that place of, maybe I'm not ready for that. I just pray in Jesus' name, God, just show them, just like the same thing you showed this woman that was caught in her own darkness, or he led her out of that darkness, and this today would be a day of leading out of that darkness.
I've been fighting saying this and sharing this, but you know, Mitch has this light. Okay, let me ask you a question. Is the capacity of light in my hand right now? The potential of light is in my hand. The question is, how do you turn the light on? Or do you don't? Do you? You hold the switch in. How do you turn it on? Well, the light is in us. You know, where it talks about the hope, Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. The light is in you. Question is, how do you turn the switch on? How do you turn the switch on? And the Lord highlighted a passage of scripture to my heart that Mitch was speaking about, so that we may turn the light of the light on in us. And it says this. It says, but even if I do, Jesus is talking, he says, even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it. I'm not alone in it. I'm not alone in it. Listen to this. It says, and I am he who sent me. Now here it is. Even in your law, it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. Now you hear that. The testimony of two men is what? True. Do you realize right now there is a testimony of you and I being accused before the throne of God day and night? But also we have one who intercedes for us, the light of the world, who makes declarations over us. The question is, what do we agree with to either turn the light on or put us into condemnation? The question is, the only way that the light gets turned on in us, that we come agreement of the light that is in us. Are you following me? To be passive is to like walk around with a flashlight and it not be turned on. But to go, okay, Lord, you say this about me, I agree with you. Or you agree with the devil. I was telling Paula coming in this morning, I could hear the gist of it is I could hear accusations coming against me. And when I was going today, I said, Lord, I know that's for me. But my question is, do you agree with him? And I just want to agree with Mitch, and I just want to call out in us that which is the hope in us, the hope of glory in us, that we may agree with it, that the light of life may be illuminated in us. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to declare in us, Lord, that you have come to place Jesus in us, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God in us. You declare Christ in us, the hope of glory. And you have given us the light in us, Lord. And Lord, we make a choice to agree to turn the light on. Lord, we come in agreement with the declarations of heaven, of the realities of the hope in us, Lord, that you say in you, in Jesus, the light of life, we have been made complete. You tell us that in you, Lord, we have forgiveness of our sins, Lord, by your blood. Lord, in you, Lord, you declare that there is no condemnation. Lord, in you, Lord, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Lord, in you, Lord, we do not lack. And so, God, we just declare that in a season, this time, Lord, you are declaring the truth. You are declaring it. And, Lord, we silence the accuser in Jesus' name. We silence the accuser that this Christmas will be a season of light and freedom. Because if two agree, it is true. And Lord, we do not want to agree with the devil and release what he is saying to be true about us. Lord, we want to agree with you, who is truth, who is in us, who is light, to set us free. So Lord, we declare it in the name of Jesus, Lord. In Jesus' name.
And everybody said, amen. I'm just going to encourage you this morning, really receive that word. I think, you know, Rick, just that was a good ending to that message, because we have to, again, that last scripture, believe in the lights, receive it, declare it, speak the same thing, so that you become sons and daughters of light. So if you need anything this morning, if you need physical healing, if you need prayer, if you need anything this morning, we're just going to come ask you to come, and before you leave, come and grab some prayer. We'd be up here. Otherwise, greet somebody on your way out. Encourage them. Merry Christmas to you guys. Have a great Christmas tomorrow. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Merry Christmas.